Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 68. My name is John. I know your life is empty, and you hate to face this world alone. So you're searching for an angel, someone who can make you whole. I cannot save you. I can't even save myself. So just save yourself. It's October 2015, near the end of the month, when we celebrate what has become my favorite holiday as an adult, Halloween. Some people complain because it's a children's holiday that has become a reason for adults to act like fools and for women to dress like sluts. And in response to such accusations, I simply say, yes. Yes, it is. So, you don't like to dress up, party a little, and enjoy provocatively dressed women? I do. I'm bringing back one of my all-time favorite costumes this year. I will be dressed as Shaun from Shaun of the Dead. Gina is going to be out of town that weekend, so my girlfriend has graciously volunteered to play the part of Ed. Yes, that's right. We are going as a gender-bending gay couple from a zombie rom-com. Halloween is a celebration of the creepy. Of course, creepiness can be relative. Not everybody can be a mortician or a coroner or a gravedigger. The majority of people tend to shy away from those things. But for the most part, we don't think less of those who have the fortitude to do that. That's their calling. That's what works for them. They also serve a definitive purpose that most people don't want to deal with. If you're a long-time listener, you may recall a podcast I did many years ago where I talked about an essay by comic book writer and artist Neil Adams, where he talked about artists, painters, musicians, dancers, comic book creators, as parasites. Again, if you'll recall, it wasn't said negatively. The point of his essay was artists don't provide a service that is vital or necessary to human existence, and artists can only exist when there is, as Neil Adams put it, plenty. People have to have enough to sustain themselves for the work that they do. Artists can only exist if people have more than enough and can give that overage to the artists in exchange for a song or a drawing or a dance or whatnot. Otherwise, as Adams put it, the people would make the artists do real work until there is plenty once again. I read that, and I think what it boils down to is, if you don't provide a direct and concrete good or service, you have to find a way to justify it and convince people that they should set aside some of the fruits of their labor to give to you in exchange for your parasitical work. This is not difficult to do in the world today. There is plenty. There is also the opportunity for plenty, even though some people are convinced otherwise. It is also not at all difficult to find people to waste the plenty on. There are those who will take from you and give you emptiness disguised as substance in return. Unfortunately, one of the loudest voices in that respect is from a man who I consider to be in the same vein as one of Neil Adams's parasites. But this man is no artist. He doesn't do stand-up comedy, although I do find what he says and does laughable. He doesn't perform on Broadway. He doesn't sing in a band. He doesn't design sequential art. but his entire existence, and the existence of all he represents, hinges on the notion of convincing you to give your hard-earned money to him and his cause, even though he does not provide a good or service vital to your existence. But at least with the other kinds of parasites, you get a song, or a dance, or a laugh, or a Justice League comic book. This man gives you nothing. Nothing but possibilities. And you only get those if you alter your perceptions. To me, that is enough to sow seeds of distrust with him. I suspect, though, that I may be in the minority in that respect. However, because of my previous life, my background takes that distrust to a different level. It's more than just not believing the guy. It's more than just thinking he's a charlatan. I think he may be dangerous. He scares me. He gives me the creeps. Pope Francis visited the United States recently. He's become quite the celebrity, endearing himself to people. The Catholic Church has needed that with its membership waning, and he's doing exactly what needs to be done to bring those people back who have lapsed in their faith and to pique the interest of those who may be inclined to follow a religion. In the past, I have called the Catholic Church the largest cult in the vast sea of Christian denominations, if not the largest in any religion. It's led by a man. It claims to have sacred texts that it keeps secret from the followers, and it keeps its followers connected by practicing meaningless ceremony. I'm not backing down on my assessment. So, if you didn't know it already, you probably now understand that I don't care for this or any pope. However, I do find it hilarious that he managed to elate and aggravate people on both the liberal and conservative sides. During his visit, he canonized a Spanish missionary, much to the chagrin of certain Native American groups. He scored points with environmentalists by throwing his weight, and the weight of the Catholic Church, behind the climate change movement. He gave a speech of remembrance to the 9/11 attacks. He proclaimed labor, land, and lodging sacred rights. He ignored the history of his office and his denomination while admonishing those who he considers have a thirst for power and material prosperity. He proposed an international judiciary, but gave no option for whose law would govern that judiciary. He believes the all-powerful elite control the vast majority of wealth and resources, but I didn't read of any offer for him to open the vast treasures of the Vatican to the poor of the world. Those of you who have listened to the podcast for a while will also know that I am not a very religious person. I used to be. But even when I was a practitioner of Christianity, I didn't care too much for Catholicism. To me, it seemed like a bunch of sound and fury signifying nothing. So, I'm naturally predisposed to distrust anything a pope says, even on those occasions when his words carry some partial truth. But the fact of the matter is, this guy would be one hell of a politician. Despite the gaudy robes, the position of power, and access to incredible wealth, he is still amazingly considered a man of the people. He talks a good game and he puts on a good show. He does a few things to get people to think he's humble, and it's entirely possible he has some humility, but I just can't buy it. I know that's going to upset some people who believe in this guy, but he is not in a position of humility. He goes to sleep every night in his big cushy Pope bed in his big beautiful Pope mansion. Not that this is a bad thing. He's obviously at the top of his profession. He is the Steve Jobs of Catholics. He played the right game and made the right connections. So when the Catholic Church decided that they needed a populist pope to pique the perception of the proletariat, their board of directors decided to blow the white smoke his way. Great for him. But so what? Unless you're a member of the Catholic Church or someone who thinks that the church matters, so the fuck what? What about those religions who think Catholicism is erroneous? What about those who think religion in general is erroneous? Why should we listen to this man? And to me, he is just a man. That, in and of itself, is not important to me. I listen to men and women all the time. I listen to politicians probably more than I should to keep me sane. Some I agree with, many I do not. Like I said, this guy would make a great politician. I mean, we just had a Democrat presidential debate a couple of weeks ago, and they were all old, rich, white people just like the Pope. And you can say the same for most of the Republicans as well. They just had their debate a couple of days ago. The Pope, as a politician, would be an easy shift. Just switch the robes for a nice suit, and there really wouldn't be any difference. But he's more than just a politician. He's a collectivist and a statist. Still not much of a difference from all the Democrat and Republican nominees for president, but he can be far more dangerous. Some people are just going to nod their heads and agree with everything the Pope says like it's gospel. Because to them it is. And that is where we get to the dark side of religion. Okay, look, I think I've said this before in a previous podcast, I don't remember. But religion, at its best and proper form, is a mental discipline. It's supposed to be difficult because you're always supposed to have a higher goal to achieve. And there are a lot of good things that religion promotes. Granted, many of them are things people would naturally do anyway, but religion makes you feel guilty or fearful of damnation if you don't, so I guess there's that motivation. But it's easy to get so caught up in it that you lose sight of some of the basic tenets. Automatically following what a human representative of the religion says, even though it conflicts with your supposedly sacred scriptures, is part of that dark side. Hell, Gina and I live in a town whose top tourist landmark and claim to fame started out as a Catholic mission, and it's one of several in the area. Even though religion in general is waning, we still know not to try to go to a seafood restaurant on Fridays during Lent. And we know that it's about to kick off when we see the people with the dirty foreheads on a Wednesday. Hey, I kind of get it. I was raised in a fundamentalist Christian environment. For the first 3 decades of my life, I spent every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening in some kind of church service. Even when I really didn't want to do it, I did it. But that's because I was too deep into it. As I grew older, I became more conflicted. My life was leading me in a different direction than religion, and for a time, it really felt like I was living two lives. Finally, I decided I wasn't going to be a hypocrite like most people in the Christian religion. Like I said, It is a mental discipline, and it is one that requires you to give it everything you've got. So I left, and I haven't looked back. And I'm far happier now than I ever was in my former life. I'm not saying everyone should leave religion. I am saying it's not for me anymore. And I'm saying that the biggest test of your faith should come from you. And if one of your so-called leaders starts saying things that you disagree with, it doesn't mean they are automatically right because they are in a leadership role. The people in authority aren't always right. Even the people who claim to have done all the research aren't always right. Mistakes can be made. Researchers, scientists, and leaders can be, and probably are, corrupted. So what if the Pope supports the man-made climate change movement? Does that automatically mean you should too? Despite the constant drumbeat of media affirmation, there are scientists who are not beholden to government grants who provide scientific evidence that climate change is, at worst, infinitesimally affected by humanity. And if these buffoons cared about the goddamn planet so much, why are they burning amazing amounts of fuel while jetting around the globe to tell us we need to cut back? Those are not the actions of people who believe in man-made climate change. Those are the actions of people who are setting us up in a major con game. And what the hell do you mean that labor and lodging and land are sacred rights? I mean, if you mean that we have the right to procure work with the agreement slowly between you and the business owner without government interference, then we agree. If you mean that we have the right to procure land for ourselves that cannot be taken away by government without your consent, then we agree. If you mean that you have the right to procure lodging for yourself to the best of your means and desires, then we agree. But if you mean, and I'll bet you do, that all those things should be granted to you by government without you putting forth the proper effort to earn them, then you can climb back into your putmobile and drive off. And I'm getting a little sick of people trashing material prosperity. Sure, there are some things that people do that I consider ostentatious, gaudy, or downright pointless. My solution to that, I don't do the same thing. But damn it, I want a nice house with nice furnishings. I don't want my house furnished with things from Walmart and IKEA. And if that's what I want, and if I'm going to work to get that, and not make somebody else buy it for me, then who the fuck are you to tell me it's too much? The same thing with the ostentatious, gaudy, and pointless. I may not like it, but who the hell am I to tell them that they can't or shouldn't have what they worked for and rightfully earned? Especially coming from a guy with the most ostentatious display of wealth and power in the religious world. What a load of hypocrisy. At this point in history, I think we can all see where we're headed with the Pope's idea of an international judiciary. If we're talking about a judiciary that's based on and strictly adheres to the ideals set forth in the United States Constitution, you know, natural rights, probable cause, individual liberty, then I would at least listen. However, let's not kid ourselves. I'm sure this Pope wants a judiciary that conforms to his theocratic view. Not even the ever-changing views of the Catholic Church, but his statist, collectivist point of view. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it's super easy when you have the ultimate bully pulpit backed by the vast wealth of the Vatican to wag your finger and tell the rest of the world they need to share their wealth and resources. When the hierarchy of the Catholic Church is wearing the old biblical sackcloth and living in sparse, unassuming houses because they have sold off all of their collected riches and given it to the truly needy, then I may give this man a listen. Until then, he's just another statist trying to force others to change to his ideal. No better than the grubby politicians trying to get your vote. I got a bad case of the I don't give a fucks. I just don't care right now. I don't care if you think the Pope is right or wrong. I don't care if you think you should give your money away to the needy or if you want to keep it all for yourself. I don't care if your moral code is based on religion or not. I don't care if you think gun control is necessary or your right to defend yourself is sacrosanct. I don't care if you think climate change is man-made and settled science or a naturally occurring cycle. I don't care if you think gay marriage is an abomination or a celebration. What I care about, and where I will be at odds with you, is whether you and the people you vote for try to impinge, impugn, and outright deny other people's natural rights in the name of your beliefs. This will come as no surprise to anyone who knows me or who has listened to previous podcasts, but I don't like collectives. The bigger the group, the more influential the group, the less likely I am to agree with or support them. This is why I don't trust either of the major political parties in the United States, and I don't trust some supposed religious man just because his followers think he's infallible. I'm going to finish where I began with this. It's October 2015. As of this recording, it is almost Halloween, the most wonderful time of the year. I just told you how creepiness is relative and how this latest uber-collectivist pope is creeping me out. But that's just one guy. There are more worrisome creatures out there. And I just gave you a hint as to what that is. In the past century, there have been some great Halloween monsters. Vampires, werewolves, mummies, and of course, ghosts. But the past few years have brought a long-standing monster into the spotlight and new heights of popularity. Hell, I even said I was going to dress as a character from a movie about those monsters. No, you don't have to go back to the beginning. I'm going to tell you. I'm going as Shaun from Shaun of the Dead. A movie about zombies. There's a reason why zombies have become so popular. It has become the perfect metaphor for our society. Just like in the movies, zombies vary from just the mindless walking dead to flesh and brain-eating killers. But the modern version of the zombie is what drives it home. If they get you, you either become one of them or you die. In modern America, there is no live and let live. Maybe there never was. Every faction has their beliefs, and if you don't go in complete goose step with them, then you need to be forced to conform via public shaming and or vitriol, or else they will take whatever steps they feel are necessary to silence you. I said earlier, there are scientists who say the climate change believers are using incorrect information. They may have just made mistakes, but there has been plenty of evidence over the past few years to indicate that the incorrect information is intentionally falsified. But you won't hear their side of the story, because they have been fired from their positions or blocked by governing bodies, because they won't blindly follow the statist-backed philosophy. The climate change zombies will only let you go on if you become one of them. If not, they'll kill your career. When I first heard about the show Duck Dynasty, I thought it was going to be like Meerkat Manor and follow ducks around to see how they live in the wild. Once I found out what it really was, I had no interest in watching it. And the more I knew about it, the less I cared. My work has even had a couple of Duck Dynasty days where people dressed up for season premieres, and people were shocked that I have never watched an episode, and I didn't participate in the dress-up. So, one of the guys on the show has a very strict right-wing religious view on marriage. And pro-gay marriage people didn't like that. Not one bit. So a movement began to boycott the show's sponsors and remove the show from the airways. Same with Chick-fil-A. One executive professed his views, not the views of the company, which doesn't discriminate against homosexuals, and the pro-gay marriage people tried to boycott and shame the company. One person even ambushed a drive-thru worker who had nothing to do with anything the executive said. The pro-gay marriage zombies will only let you go on if you become one of them. If not, they'll kill your TV show and try to kill your business. Of course, those aren't the only zombie factions. The anti-gay marriage zombie horde is just as bad. I couldn't go to Chick-fil-A during that whole clusterfuck because the anti-gay marriage people packed the goddamn stores and drive-through lines going out into the street. I don't think they even really understood the whole situation. They just thought somebody was being attacked for not liking gay marriage. Then they came running to support them, no matter what they thought of the product. The same goes with the Kentucky clerk, what's her name? I still haven't bothered to look her up, and I still don't care to remember it. They don't care that the clerk was violating the law, and they certainly don't care that the clerk was violating the natural rights of fellow citizens. How dare somebody perform their job? The anti-gay marriage zombies will only let you go on if you become one of them. If not, they gather en masse and try to kill your voice of opposition. So, when the leader of a religion, filled with people who historically blindly follow their leader's words, proclaims a series of statist ideals that empowers collectivist zombies, I'm not going to sit quietly while the hordes decide to eliminate the remaining free thinkers. I'm not going to drop to my knees in obeisance to any man, not a pope, not a president, not anyone. Because I know the day I do, I'm no longer free. The day I do, I become the property of another. The day I do, I become a zombie. It's October 2015. Halloween is upon us. Do you join the mindless hordes of the undead seeking to devour the living? Or do you remain a free thinker that will not bow down to the tyranny of the majority? Death or life? Tyranny or freedom? trick or treat. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.